The body may become old, but the soul is immortal, soul is unchanging. Dehina, dehi nittang abuddho vayam. Dehi means, deha means body. Dehi means what? The proprietor of the body. The proprietor of the body is nitya, eternal. Abadhyaya, undestroyable. Cannot be killed. The soul cannot be killed. Ajay? Huh? We don't need that. The soul is eternal. But deha is perishable. In this material nature, everything material is perishable. Is there anything that will last forever? No. Some will last for a few hours. Like the microbes. And some will last for thousands and thousands of years. Like the demigods. They live for thousands of years. Brahma lives for billions of years. Trillions of years actually. So, but even Brahma is susceptible to death. Brahma will also die. When Hiranyakashipu asked Brahma to give him the benediction of immortality, Brahma told him, even I am not immortal. Even I am going to die. Prabhupada used to use the word rascal for fools. It sounds very heavy. But actually what Prabhupada means by rascal is fools. So when you listen to Prabhupada's tapes, Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada's conversation, Prabhupada is always saying, these rascals. But actually, Prabhupada means the fools. Hari Bol, is there Shiva? Yeah. So, I made an announcement before you came. So you're going to sing at 7 o'clock here. Huh? So I guess you have to dress up properly. Right? So go change. Anyway, meaning dhoti kurta. Huh? So, dehi and deha. Time and time again, in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna is saying the same thing. Deha and dehi. Tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatra namuhyati. Dehi nittam abuddhoyam. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. It's talking about the soul. So that is the topic, that is the thing that we have to consult. That is what we are here for. To understand the difference between body and the soul. Sometimes some neophyte people, those who know, do not know the subject. They say, Prabhupada is always speaking about body and soul. We are not the body. Yes, that is the main problem. That's the main topic. That is what we all need to understand. We are not this body, we are soul. And like the perfect teacher, Srila Prabhupada is reminding us, you are not this body. You are not this body. You are soul, you are spirit soul. And what is the benefit? The benefit is that when we recognize that we are spirit souls, then we are not going to die. Is there anyone who wants to become immortal? Is there anyone who wants to become immortal? Did you understand or you didn't understand me? Do you want to become immortal? So after that, After that, okay, who wants to become immortal? Little better. So, can the body become immortal? Will the body ever become immortal? Will any body become ever immortal? But is the soul immortal? Is the soul immortal? Are you the body or the soul? I'm happy to hear that. You're the spirit soul. So spirit soul doesn't die. You are a spirit soul. Will you die? Have you become immortal?
Yes.
See, theoretically at least you become immortal. And so, but we theoretically understood, but do we practically recognized it? Practically realized it? In most cases, no. That's why we have to practice. We have to practice. We are not this body, we are spirit soul. And we have to act like that. If we act on the bodily platform, then can we ever go into the spiritual platform? If you remain in Ujjain, you'll be able to go to New York. If you remain in Ujjain, will you be able to go to Delhi? Yes or no? If you remain in the bodily platform, will you be able to go to the spiritual platform? As simple as that. So in order to go to the spiritual platform, you have to transcend the bodily platform. If you remain in the bodily platform, meaning if you are trying to enjoy through your senses, you won't be able to go to the spiritual platform. Again, this is what Krishna is emphatically telling in this Uddhava Gita. To become spiritually situated, to become a devotee, that's the point Krishna is making. To become a devotee, you have to come out of the bodily platform. In order to become a devotee, you have to get out of your bodily platform. You have to get out of your bodily platform. That means don't run after sense gratification. Become involved in spiritual activity. Does it make sense? And this is what we have to consider. This is what you have to consider. Which platform you are in. Think of it seriously. Are you still in the sense enjoying platform, or are you in the devotional service platform? If your honest answer is, no, I am still in the sense gratifying platform, then get out of that platform as quickly as possible. And that is the purpose of coming here. You remember that. I am not inviting you to give you the opportunities to be involved in sense gratification. The purpose of inviting you is to take you out of your sense gratifying platform and situate you into devotional service platform. And what is devotional service? That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it so simple, so simple. Just chant Hare Krishna. And don't indulge in sinful activities. Follow the four regulative principles. And render service to Krishna. So easy. Such easy activity. Chant Hare Krishna. So simple. Chanting means sing. Singing is so joyful. Everybody likes to sing. And when you sing, your heart becomes softer. When you sing, your heart becomes joyful. And when the heart experiences the joy, heart means when the soul experiences the joy, the soul begins to dance. So that is what spiritual life is. Sing the glory of Krishna, and as an expression of your inner joy, you dance. So, this is the crux of this topic. This is the main purpose, main objective of this topic, of our discussion. That is the ultimate goal of our life, to become engaged in devotional service. But in order to become engaged in devotional service, we have to come out of our bodily platform. And bodily platform means, Srila Prabhupada makes this point very, very simple. Griha apatya kalatradishu. Griha, our home. Apatya, our children. And kalatra, our relatives and friends. As long as our total absorption and focus is on these things, our household, our relatives, our family members, we'll remain in the bodily platform. Because these are just the body's extension. These are just the body's dwelling platform. So shift your bodily platform to Krishna consciousness. Come to the platform of Krishna. Recognize Krishna. Your relationship with Krishna. Sense gratification is like running after mirage. Maya Marichika. Marichika means mirage. Can a thirsty person quench his thirst after running after a mirage? By running after a mirage? No. Only water will quench our thirst. Our desire for enjoyment will never be satisfied by running after these illusory objects of sense gratification. Sense gratification. Trying to derive the pleasure out of satisfying our senses. It's a big challenge to come out of that, because we have natural attraction for that. The senses are running for sense objects, for enjoyment. Dhayate vishayan pungsha, dhayate. Senses are always running towards the objects of the senses. But that's what we have to reverse. No, not the objects of the senses, but the Lord of the senses. In one hand there is Vishaya, objects of the senses. On the other hand there is Rishikesha, the Lord of the senses. So let the senses run towards the Lord of the senses, not the objects of the senses. What I am saying, does it make sense? Are you all listening? Are you all understanding what I am saying? Is it giving you certain ideas what to do? Some idea what to do? What to do? What do we have to do? Keep on gratifying our senses? then what are you going to do with our senses? We have our senses. Senses want to, our body wants to do something. So what to do? Let them be engaged in serving Krishna. So that is the purpose. And there are, many of you are doing that, I know. Just I'm seeing right in front of me, there is Prashanta Gauranga. He had a big job, very, very successful career in Kuwait. But he gave it up, came back to India in a small little town in Bengal, and he is preaching Krishna consciousness. He turned his house, beautiful house he has, he made it into a temple. And so this is how we can just use our ability into engaging in Krishna service. I just give one example. There are many of you are like that. Some are capable of doing that. Some are trying to do that, and some of you have already done that. But the thing is that we should do that. Let's not go towards that direction. But of course, another thing is that not that everybody will be able to do that. Only some will be able to do that. Prabhupada gave me one simple instruction. Offer this life to Krishna. And I also relay this same message to others, to my disciples, my friends, those who want to listen to me. Just offer this life to Krishna. It's not my words. It's Srila Prabhupada's words. Offer this life to Krishna. But how many of you are able to do that? Some are doing that, and those who have done that, they are experiencing a joy and satisfaction in another platform. Just offer this life to Krishna. Similarly, right in front of me, I am seeing another person in that way who has done that. Bhakti Prem Maharaj. He was a doctor, could have had a very successful career. But I told him, offer this life to Krishna, and like a very good boy, he did that. And so like others are there also, our sannyasi here. Yeah, anyway, so identify yourself, Maharaj, from Orissa. Another person who offered himself to Krishna, Satyatapati Prabhu, another person, young boy joined, offered himself to Krishna. And what will happen? They'll become sannyasi. Eventually, all this while they have been brahmacharis, and they'll become some of them become sannyasis, some of them will become sannyasis, and some of them will remain brahmacharis and carry on like that. And the thing is, the reward is at least they are experiencing the joy of a trouble-free life. I'm sure those who are householders, those who know, they know what I mean. Trouble-free life. Get married and you are inviting troubles. Of course, at the same time, I feel bad for our girls. If all the boys brahmacharis become brahmacharis, what will happen to the girls? Well, there will be plenty of people who will want to marry you, don't worry. Srila Prabhupada said, there's one problem I haven't been able to solve. I want all my boys to become brahmacharis. I want all the girls to get married. So that's what the guru wants. He wants all the girls to get married. Yes, they should get married. Because that's their nature. But become such good girls that whoever you get married to, make him into a devotee. That is the challenge the girls have. Make your husbands into a pure devotee. So this is how Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread. And this is how the girls are going to offer their lives to Krishna. Just offer this life to Krishna. Even though you get married, but your life will be to Krishna. A brilliant example of that is Mirabai, a princess. She offered the life to Krishna. Even though she got married, her life was to offer to Krishna. So this is the example of pure devotees in either human man's body or in a woman's body. So this is how everybody should take advantage of this connection with ISKCON. Okay, in that respect, it reminds me, what is the objective of ISKCON? What is the objective of ISKCON? ISKCON is the movement that is meant to make pure devotees. In that respect, there is one consideration that Srila Prabhupada made, that once Prabhupada mentioned that in ISKCON everyone is a pure devotee. Quite a shocking statement, isn't it? Everyone in ISKCON is a pure devotee. So some devotees question, Srila Prabhupada, everyone in ISKCON is a pure devotee. Prabhupada said yes. Prabhupada, the new bhakta who joined the other day, is he a pure devotee? Prabhupada said yes. Is this a pure devotee? Is that pure devotee? Like, Prabhupada said yes. Then Prabhupada said that they are, it's a matter of green mango and ripe mango. The mango may be green now, but if the mango remains in the tree, the mango will become ripe. Yes, you may be and not a pure devotee now, but if you remain in ISKCON, then you'll become a pure devotee. So ISKCON is the institution. I won't even use the word institution. I'll go even further. ISKCON is a factory for manufacturing pure devotees. So just stay in ISKCON and he'll become a pure devotee. It will happen. You may be a green mango today, but tomorrow you'll become a ripe mango if you remain in the tree. But if you get out of the tree, then you won't be able to get ripe. So, so this is the purpose of these discussions, these classes. And another thing I want to point out, that our process, what is our process? The process is disciplic succession. Disciplic succession. Succession means continuing. Succeed. Guru, disciple. Then disciple becomes guru and he takes his disciple. So, this is another thing that Prabhupada wanted, that all of us should become gurus. All of us should become gurus. I won't say all of us, because I've already become a guru. All of you should become gurus. Now, does it mean that all of you have to become initiating spiritual master? May not be. Many of you will become initiating spiritual master, but many of you probably won't. But doesn't matter. Who is a guru? Jai Krishna Tattvabetta, Shai Guru Hai. Who knows Krishna and who speaks about Krishna from his understanding of Krishna is a guru. When you are preaching, you are a guru. When you are instructing, you are a guru. So assume that role. Become a guru. So Jai Krishna Tattvavetta, Shai Guru Hai. Become a guru. Go and preach wherever you are. Preach. That is how you serve Krishna. Use the body in the service of Krishna. Sometimes you may think, oh, I'm so far away from the temple, how can I serve? No, doesn't matter. Even if you're not in the temple, even if you're staying at home, just jare dakho tare koho Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, preach to him about Krishna. Amar aggay guru hoiya taroi desh. Become my guru and my order. Mahaprabhu is giving that order. Amar aggay guru hoiya taroi desh. So, please become seriously engaged in your Krishna consciousness. I am saying all these things before going to the main topic, because I am trying to create that mindset so that you can focus what you are hearing. You'll be able to understand and apply. So this morning I mentioned about Abadhuta telling Jadu, King Jadu, about 24 gurus. Like how they're his gurus. He literally accepted them as gurus. Earth. He's saying earth has two aspects. One is a mountain. And he's learning from his mountain guru. Mountain guru is remain unaffected by anything that's happening around you and keep serving others silently. Just serve others. And from the trees, benefit others. Even though they are hurting you, still benefit others. About the tree, we have a very nice example from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtakam. Trinadopi sunichena taroriva shahishnuna. Become as tolerant as a tree. And expressing that tolerant aspect is pointed out that somebody is cutting the tree, he is not objecting. On the other hand, those who are cutting the tree, he is giving him shade. It's bright, hot, scorching sun. He's getting the shade of the tree. The tree is giving him the shade. The person is hungry. The tree is giving the fruit. Although he is cutting the tree is giving that. Another example of benefiting others, serving others. Isn't that a wonderful lesson to learn? We are not just seeing the mountain. Seeing the mountain, one can also develop another kind of attitude. Big, standing, so erect. And one thinks that, well, I should be like mountain. My head high as the mountain. No, that is not a devotee's attitude. Materialistic attitude is like that. Comes in mind one of Qazi Nazrul's line from Bidrohi, one famous poetry. Bolo bir varum bolo unnato mamo shir mamo oi shir nehari nato shir oi shikhar hi madrir. My head is so high. Or he's telling that, oh hero, your head should be so high that seeing you, even Himalayan mountain will stoop down in front of you. That is just the opposite understanding. Rather, a devotee is more humble than a blade of grass. That's why materialistic people will never be able to understand the attitude of a devotee. They'll think that the devotee is a bunch of fools. Actually, devotees are the most intelligent people. According to Krishna's calculation, according to Krishna's presentation, devotees are the most intelligent people. Otherwise, how can one give up everything for the sake of benefiting beyond this life? An intelligent person only can invest on something where the return is going to be so far beyond that nobody can see. But that benefit is mountainous. Devotees are the most intelligent people. Jai Jan Krishna Bhaje Shebara Chotur. One who serves Krishna, he is very intelligent. Why he is very intelligent? Because he is investing here to get the benefit there. Can you imagine how much intelligence it needs? One needs to have that kind of return. And also to sacrifice, not to enjoy in this life. While everybody says, you are so young, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy now. And when you become old, you become a devotee. You do whatever you want to do at that time. Now you enjoy. That is not an intelligent understanding. Rather, suffer now to enjoy later. That is what takes intelligence. Suffering now to enjoy later. And that is also another thing, the Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness and materialistic life, the difference is, the materialistic life is joyful now, suffering at the end. And spiritual life, suffering now, joyful at the end. So which option an intelligent person will take? Enjoy later. Accept difficulties now in order to enjoy later. So in this way one should always see things in the light of Krishna consciousness. That's what actually this Abhadhuta is pointing out. Everything that he's going through, he's putting them in the perspective of spiritual advancement, spiritual advantage. That is what spiritual life is. So what did Abhidhut learned from his earth guru, be like a mountain and serve others without expecting any return, and benefit others without expecting any return, like a tree. Then comes air, wind. What did you learn from the wind? The wind or air has two aspects. Internal air, vayu, and external air. The internal air within the body is keeping ourselves alive. So from this wind guru, he learned, just keep yourself alive. Don't worry about anything. Recognize that it's so wonderful to be alive. How often do we recognize this fact that I am alive, and that itself is so wonderful. I am breathing. That's so wonderful. Can any joy of this world compare to the breathing that's going on unconsciously with this body? No. We don't recognize how wonderful it is to breathe. And from the external air, to recognize how to remain uncontaminated. Air blows everywhere. Pure place, impure place, but it remains uncontaminated. But the carries, only the outer fragrance of it. But air remains uncontaminated. So, how to be satisfied by just being alive? And from the external wind, he learned how to remain uncontaminated by the body and the objects of the sense. The body is becoming contaminated, but not being affected. Like the wind is blowing through dirty place. Does the wind become dirty? No. Similarly, the impurities of the body should not affect us, the soul. Yes, the body will have all kinds of impurities. Gross impurities that we excrete. Does the soul become affected by that? Or the subtle impurities, lust, greed, anger, etc. Does the soul become affected by that? No. Rasananda or so, this is how we are seeing how Abhidhuta learned from his guru. Which guru? Wind guru. Wind. Like just as wind, the internal air is just keeping us alive. So just be satisfied, just being alive. And external air not being contaminated by anything around it. It's blowing, but it doesn't become affected. Similarly, the impurities of our body should not affect the spirit soul. Then from the sky, what did he learn? From sky he learned that just as sky, you cannot divide the sky. Sky is always remains always undivided, indivisible, and imperceptible. So similarly, the soul experience the presence of the soul within the body. The soul cannot be divided. Soul, the body can be divided. Body can be fragmented, but the soul remains intact as one unit. And it cannot be perceived. Soul cannot be perceived, although it is doing all the functioning of the body. But the soul is not perceived. Is that clear? How the soul, can you perceive the soul? Can you see the soul? The soul is continuing his activities without us becoming aware of it, without us being, without us perceiving it. So this is how the Abadhuta is learning his lessons from different gurus. We can just imagine. It'll be nice to imagine. Like this, Abadhuta is standing there looking at the sky. What is going on in his mind? How is he seeing the sky? Just as the sky, my soul is indivisible and imperceptible. Can you perceive ether? Can you perceive ether? Air you can perceive, fire you can perceive, water you can perceive, but can you perceive ether, akash, sky? No. But the sky is functioning. Actually, everything is resting on the sky. And from the water he learned how to naturally remain clean and purifying. Water remains pure and clean. And water is all purifying. Water is all purifying. Of all the purifying objects, water is all purifying. Especially Ganga water, Jamuna water. And even regular water. Like you wash, becomes clean. So similarly, the soul should be like that. Soul, the lesson that Abadhuta is learning from water, just as water is always clear and water is all purifying, the soul is clear and soul is all purifying. Especially those who come in contact with the pure soul. Just by coming in contact with water, everything becomes pure, purified. By coming in contact with a pure devotee, whose soul is pure and whose expression of the soul is also pure, everyone becomes purified. And from the fire, what did he learn? One quality of fire is, the fire can eat anything. Another name of fire is sarvabhuk. Similarly, an avadhut, whatever, he can devour all things without becoming dirtied, and he can destroy all inauspicious desires of those who make offerings to him. And he also learns how spirit soul enters into every body and gives illumination. So fire illuminates. So similarly, our soul should be like fire, illuminate everyone who comes in contact with us. And we should also purify all the impurities in the others. Especially is pointing out the guru. Guru's duty is to purify the disciples. The impurities are there, but just like fire, purified. Then he comes to seeing the moon. What happens to the moon? With time, with the tithi, moon reduces for 14 days, and then again it begins to grow and it becomes full. So similarly, the body will go through the changes. The body undergoes growth and dwindling. So just as moon grows, moon wanes, and then dwindles, we body also will decay and dwindle. So don't become affected by that. With time it will grow to the full youth, full moon, just as it from nothing, new moon, it grows into a full moon gradually and then wanes and becomes new moon again. Our life is like that. From childhood, it grows gradually, it grows into a fully grown up youth. Then again, it starts to reduce. And finally, it's gone. And these wonderful examples that are lessons that Abhidhuta has learnt. Otherwise, why Krishna will tell them to us? Why will Krishna think that they are important? From son, what did he learn? How to avoid entanglement even while coming in contact with sense objects. And so the son is coming in contact with so many different objects, but does the son get affected by that? Similarly, the soul will come in contact with so many objects, but will not get affected by that. And also seeing the real nature of the soul and the temporary nature of the covering of the soul, the body. Actually, that is the most important consideration, not to be affected. You see, our situation in the material nature is very difficult. We are in the world of matter and we are constantly being allured by the illusory energy of the Lord. And it's difficult to fix on it's difficult not to be affected by that. Like so many things are so attractive here. Senses are always running after those objects of the senses. But our business is to be unaffected by that. The sun is illuminating everything, going and seeing everything, but does the sun get affected by that? No. So similarly, the soul should remain unaffected by all the happenings, all the allurements of this material nature. Then he accepts a pigeon as his guru. One day he saw that a hunter came to catch the birds in the forest. He spread his net and he had his bait. And there was a pigeon family. And the female pigeon went there and got caught in the net. Seeing his wife caught in the net, the male pigeon went, tried to rescue her. He got entangled. He got captured in the net. Then the children also went and tried to free them. They all got entangled, captured. So this is the material nature. One sees his wife is in difficulty, tries to save her. He becomes entangled. Then he has children. They become the cause of even greater entanglement. And this is how life goes on. So, don't become entangled like that. Stay away from all that allurements. Because that allurement is a net of a hunter. Just the way this hunter is catching the pigeon, this arrangement of Maya is here to keep us entangled here. So don't become affected by this entanglement of Maya. Remain aloof. These examples are making sense? Is it sinking deep? Or entering from one ear, going out from another ear? Okay, I'll tell you a story now. One person came with two golden murtis made of pure gold. Looks exactly identical. He came to the court of King Vikramaditya and said, King Vikramaditya, I know that you are very wise. Can you please tell me what's the difference between these two murtis? So they weighed the same, they looked the same. In every respect, both of them are absolutely similar. Now, I'm sorry, there were three murtis actually. Three murtis. They looked exactly similar. So, he called his ministers, said, can you figure out what's the difference? They also couldn't look the same. So, and finally he called Kalidas, his poet. Kalidas, can you make out the difference? He said, yes.
I'll see if I can make out. So he took a thin wire. He passed it through one nose, one ear, came out from the other ear. Oh no, he actually asked, can you ascertain the value of these three murtis? That's the person actually asked. So he said, this one costs nothing, apart from just the value of the gold. Then the second one he passed through, the thing did not go through all the way. He said, this is very valuable. Its value is far greater than the value of the gold itself. And the third one, the wire went right into the heart. And he said that this was priceless. So what is the lesson? Some people, with them it just enters through one ear and comes out from the other ear. Bekar. Completely valueless. The other one, he keeps ears and keeps it himself within. Some value is there. And the third one, he hears, whatever he hears goes right into his heart. That person's value is priceless. Now we have to consider in what category we fall. I'm sure all of you fall in the third category, isn't it? Thank you very much. So that's the purpose. What we hear, it must go right into our hearts. It should become a part of ourself. So then, Abhudhuta, the next guru that he accepted is his Python guru. Python. What does the Python do? You know, have you seen a Python? How many of you have seen a Python? In the zoo or... Okay. Good, even then. In the zoo you can't see the actual nature of the python. But anyway, we know the nature of a python. The python stays at one place. It doesn't move. But its food comes into his mouth. So Abhudhuta was like that. That's what King Jadu asked him, that you look very healthy, although it looks like you don't eat anything, you don't make any endeavor to eat, you don't go out to beg, you're just lying at one place. How come you're so healthy? And that is called the Ajagar Vritti, the occupation of a python. Lying at one place. And just as food comes into the mouth of the python, python doesn't make any effort to eat, go out and look for food. The food comes into his mouth. Similarly, a saintly person should be as detached as that. One wonderful example is Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri never used to beg anything, never asked anything from anybody. He would be hungry, but he would never ask anybody. But we have seen how Krishna provided for him. That is what happens. Krishna provides. A devotee doesn't have to make an endeavor to look for his food. Krishna will provide for his food. Madhavendra Puri, when he went to Vrindavan, his occupation was that he would not ask anybody. And he went to Vrindavan, Vrindavan those days was a forest. And he was just sitting under a tree. One boy came with a pot of milk. And so Madhavendra Puri asked, "How did you know that I am here, that you brought the food, milk?" "Oh, the ladies in the village, they saw that you are coming, so they sent me with this milk." "So anyway, Baba, you drink the milk, and in the evening I'll come and take the milk. Take the pot, milk pot." So Madhavendra Puri drank the milk. He felt this milk is inconceivably delicious. But he thought maybe it's Vrindavan's milk, so Surabhi cow's milk. And he was waiting for the boy to come back. It became night, but still the boy didn't come. So he fell asleep. And in the sleep, that boy came. Who is that boy? Krishna, Gopal. And he told Madhavendra, "Madhavendra, I am here in this forest here. Being afraid of the Muslims, the pujaris kept me there and ran away. And for a long, long time I'm just sitting there. Nobody can give me any food. Nobody takes care of me. So please rescue me from there." So next morning Madhavendra Puri called all the villagers. Said, "Gopal is here." So, and they cut through. It was a dense forest. Over a period of time, the place became dense forest. So they cut through the forest and they went to the place and they found Gopal. And that is how Gopal actually appeared, and Madhavendra Puri installed him on top of Govardhan. And that Gopal is now in Nadwara as Srinath ji. Also, Madhavendra Puri, when he went to Remuna, Khirchor Gopinath, he heard about Gopinath's kheer, so tasty. How many of you have tasted Gopinath kheer? Have you ever tasted any kheer like that? I can tell you, I never did. I tried in so many ways. In Mayapur, we have our own cows. I told the Goshala that get the milk from the best cow. "Okay, Maharaj, we'll get it." And we made the kheer out of that milk. No comparison of Khirchor Gopinath's kheer. So that is, so Madhavendra, even though 500 years ago, maybe even more, 600-700 years ago, and Madhavendra Puri felt that, "Oh, if I could get the taste, then I could have offered the same kind of kheer to my Gopal." And then he felt very bad. "Oh, the offering hasn't been made, and I am wanting to taste the kheer." He felt so guilty that he left the place immediately and went to the marketplace, which was empty, and took rest there. That night, Gopinath woke up the pujari. "Wake up, wake up." So my devotee Madhavendra is there in the marketplace, in the hut. So you go and give him that. Market means doesn't, markets in India are called hut. And they are not market like that. In the daytime, they come with the commodity and sell the commodity, and at night the whole place is empty. Everybody goes back home. And the market at night becomes completely empty. So Madhavendra Puri was resting there. So Madhavendra is there. So you give him a pot of kheer. Pujari said, "Well, I have distributed all the kheer, there is no kheer left." Gopinath said, "No, no, no, there is one pot of kheer." behind my cloth. I kept it aside. So Pujari immediately woke up and took bath and went there, and he found a pot of kheer. Gopinath, for Madhavendra Puri, stole the kheer. Therefore Gopinath got the name Kheer Chor Gopinath. Kheer Chor Gopinath of Remuna. So this is how we can see Madhavendra Puri was not endeavoring for food, but Krishna was providing for him. So that's what happens with a devotee. Devotee doesn't have to make an endeavor separately. Krishna will provide. So that is what Abhidhut learned from his python guru. Even a python is his guru. Then what did he learn from the ocean? Ocean guru? The ocean remains totally undisturbed. Have you seen the ocean? All the rivers are coming and pouring the water in the ocean, especially in monsoon. And in winter, the river gets dry. But does it affect the ocean? So similarly, a saintly person should not become affected by material happening. Things will come and things will go. We will get things and we'll lose things. But internally we should remain totally undisturbed and unaffected. Doesn't become elated when he achieves desirable things, and he doesn't become distressed by their absence. Sukhe cha anudvigna mana dukkheshu bigata spriha bita raga bhaya krodha sthita dhir manirucchati. So all these instructions are giving us an understanding how we should develop spiritually, how our inner consciousness should be like. We should not, main point is we should never become affected by the external happenings. Like external happenings means body's affairs. We should not become affected by the body's affairs, but we should remain undisturbed by the internally within our spiritual consciousness. Then he got his next guru, Moth. Moth means an insect. Moth, you seen? What do the moths do? It runs towards fire, but it gets burnt. Nowadays it's all electricity, so you don't see them getting burnt. But when there used to be lamps burning, then you could easily see that. They come rushing to the fire. And then what happens? They die. So similarly, like fire, the objects of sense gratifications are alluring us. They allure us. But as a result of that, what happens? Like that moth, we get burnt in that fire of attraction. Then he learned from two kinds of bees. One is bumblebee and the honeybee. Bumblebee, he collects the honey from flower to flower. Whatever it needs, just takes that. Flying around. And collect only small amount. A saintly person should collect small amount from many people. And practice the occupation of madhukari to maintain himself. A saintly person in India used to do that. They used to go from door to door and collect a little bit from different people. Like even now you see that, in at least in Bengal you see that. It used to be everywhere. There's one thing I remember. One day Shivaji saw his guru doing the madhukari. Shivaji was on his fort in Satara, and he saw his guru Ramdas was going door to door begging. So Shivaji felt that why my guru has to beg like that? I am his disciple, I am the king, why does he have to do like that? And so Shivaji was a very humble person actually. Very loyal disciple in that way. That's why he was so great. So Shivaji thought that my guru is asking and I am the king. So what does he need? So he writes on a piece of paper that I am offering myself to you. All that I have now belongs to you. You don't have to go begging door to door. You have everything that I possess. And then next morning Ramdas came and said, "So Shivaji, you have given everything to me, so you have nothing now. So you come, you also beg with me." Actually, Rabindranath Tagore wrote a beautiful poetry on that. It goes like, begins like, "Boshiya Prabhat Kale, Shetarar Durgo Bhale, Shivaji Herila Agdin, Ramdas Gurutar, Bhikkhamagi Daredar, Firichen Jano Annohin." And then he's describing, then he came, he said that you have given everything away to me, so now you come. So then everyone is seeing that the king is begging from door to door. And their feeling was, "Eje dekhi jole bhashe shila." This sight is so surprising, as if a stone is floating in the water. The king is begging like that. Then, after begging the whole day, he took him he went to the bank of the river. Ramdas took bath and Shivaji also took bath. and they were sitting, and Ramdas is singing a song. Amare Rajar Shaji Boshiya Boshaye Shongshar Maje. Dressing me as a king in this world, what kind of game you are playing, my Lord? So, the point is, whether you are a king or a beggar, the Lord is playing, making us play different roles. And that is the way the Lord is playing. And we should simply become an instrument in His hands. And so Ramdas actually gave Shivaji the kingdom. He said, take this kingdom back. It's not your kingdom. It's the Lord's kingdom. And with that understanding, you can rule the kingdom. And that's why we see what a glorious king Shivaji was. And no one could defeat him. Because Krishna was with him. And he was ruling the kingdom as a representative of Krishna. So we can see that behind all these great personalities, there is a personality who guided them and made them into devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we also have that opportunity now to become an instrument in the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And let's act as a puppet in His hand, just as Prabhupada said. Krishna, just make me dance. Nachao, nachao, Prabhu. Nachao, Jemati. Bhakti nai, bed nai. Name kub daro. Bhakti vedanto naam eva sarthak karo. My Lord, make me dance. Make me dance as a puppet in your hand. And that's how Prabhupada was acting. Prabhupada was acting as a puppet in Krishna's hands, and see what Prabhupada has achieved. That is what happens when you become an instrument in Krishna's hand. You act on your own, you invite miseries. You become an instrument in Krishna's hand, become a puppet of Krishna's hands, and let Krishna make you dance, and then you will see what a glorious that dance is going to be. So this is the advantage of surrendering to Krishna. And Prabhupada is giving us this instruction. Krishna is giving us that instruction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us that instruction. So let's act with that understanding. And the other thing is, one is, a sadhu should collect only little from different places. And he should be, that's how he should maintain himself. And the other is, the honeybee. The honeybee collects honey, accumulates it. And then finally what happens? The honey thief comes and steals all the honey and takes away. In the materialistic life, that's what happens with us most of the time. We accumulate our wealth. We see our bank balance is growing. And then someday, somebody comes in, or something happens and everything is lost. Or ultimately, at the time of death, everything will be lost. Somebody, either Krishna will come and steal you, or some other thief will come and steal everything from you. So, don't accumulate unnecessarily. Because that will be the cause of your distress. That also reminds me of an incident. One of my disciples in America, he had a shop. And his whole attention was in that shop. He was selling imitation jewelry in a mall. And I think he had been doing it for last 15 years. All his investment was in that shop. Maharaj is laughing. So he knows. And then recently what happened? Thieves came, stole everything from his shop. All his 15 years of labor, just gone. Just like the honeybee collects the honey, and someday the honey thief comes and takes everything away, all the honey. So don't unnecessarily accumulate things. Just try to give it as much as possible to the service of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. That is the intelligent thing to do. And by doing that, you become free. You become detached. Because the more you accumulate your money, you can see that. How the heart becomes entangled into all the accumulation. I have $5 million. Now it has become $7 million. Oh, so happy. But ultimately what's happening? You're attached to that. And remember, someday when it will all be taken away, how you'll feel. But free yourself from this kind of unnecessary entanglements, especially householders. Keep yourself free. Try to help Srila Prabhupada's mission. Yes, this movement needs a lot of money. In this world, to do everything you need money. Every program involves money. Now where will the money come from? The devotees are begging. So when the devotees go out to beg, give them, help them as much as you can. And those who do that, you can see they become so joyful. And those who don't, their heart shrinks. The heart can also have two status. Heart can shrink and heart can grow. When it shrinks, it is kripana. When it grows, it is mahajana. So become mahajanas. Then the next guru is elephant. Elephant. What happens to elephant? A she-elephant is trained. The she-elephant stands there. And near that, on the other side, and this side, there is a big ditch. But it's covered. The ditch is covered with branches and grass, and one cannot see that. So the he elephant comes and sees the she elephant, and being attracted to the she elephant, the elephant falls into the ditch. And that is the elephants are actually caught. My grandfather used to have elephant catching. They call it khad. And that's how I heard also that is how they used to catch elephants. And he used to supply elephants to the king of Tripura. And his thing was in the jungles of Chattogram, Chittagong. And this is the thing. That's how the elephants are caught. They would fall in the ditch, and the elephant won't get any food. So they'll become weak. When they're so weak, then they will be brought out and then they will be trained. So that is how the elephants are caught. Otherwise it's impossible to catch elephants. Now the honey thief, we just caught up, spoke about the honey thief. What does the honey thief do? He comes and steals all the honey from the honeycomb. So anyway, so next guru is a deer. What happens to a deer? The hunter plays the music, flute. And the deer becomes attracted. And by being attracted by the sound of the flute, the deer comes and then the hunter catches the deer. So now what is the sound of the flute? Again, the sound of the flute is the allurement of Maya. Don't fall in the trap of Maya. So time and time again, whether it is through the example of an elephant running after a she-elephant or a deer being allured by the music of the hunter, becoming attracted and becoming victims of the hunter. Also, from the fish, and now the fish guru. What he is learning from the fish guru? Have you seen the fish? The fisherman puts the bait. The fish becomes attracted, swallows the bait, but then he gets hooked, loses his life. So similarly, one must unentanglement. Person who is victimized by the insatiable tongue will also end up in losing his life. One who cannot control his tongue, he will be caught like the fish who is attracted by his tongue, seeing the bait. He swallows the bait and he is caught. Then there was one prostitute called Pingala. So Pingala dressed up nicely in search of a customer. She stayed through the night thinking that, well, this person will come, but he goes away. Another person, she thinks, oh, this one will come. And she spent the whole night. And then finally she thought, that if I was desiring Krishna in this way, then my effort shouldn't have gone in vain. Why am I waiting for this perishable, mortal, living entity's association? Let me offer myself to Krishna. And this is how Pingala became a devotee. So there are many such instances where prostitutes became devotees. Prabhupada once told a story of one prostitute in Calcutta who also became a devotee. We also know Lakshahira, the prostitute who became a devotee coming in contact with Haridas Thakur. So, in this way, one learns a lesson even from a prostitute. The instruction received from her is that hopes for sense gratification are the root cause of all sufferings. Therefore, only one who has given up such hankering can fix himself in meditation upon the personality of Godhead and attain transcendental peace. Let's not run after this material sense gratification, because sense gratification will simply lead to suffering and distress. And when we can free ourselves from that allurement, then only we can become fixed in Krishna's lotus feet.